you stand with me as we turn to the book of Leviticus. Let me read in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 28. I want to speak this evening on the subject of body piercing and tattoos. I'll be the first time that we spoke on this. Leviticus chapter 19, notice with me in verse 28. He says here in verse 28, he said, "You shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord." Let's go to the Lord now in prayer. Now, Father, we thank You this evening for this time that You've given us together. And we pray, Lord, that Lord, You would speak to our hearts. We pray, Lord, as we look at this subject, dear God, that You would teach us Thy Word. And again, we ask this evening for Your blessing and anointing to be upon the reading of Thy Word, which in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to begin here in this chapter. And as we consider the subject of body modification, talking about tattoos and body piercing, this is big business in our society, especially with celebrities and athletes and musicians. And there's many today that are involved in body modification. There's this craze, and it did not come from the Church of Jesus Christ, but it come from the world. We'll see that as we get involved in looking at some scriptures and so forth. It's a revival of ancient paganism. And let me say in the very beginning, I've known of many people that get tattoos and so forth and get saved, and we're not here this evening to condemn or to criticize that, but we're here to look at this subject and to see that God has something to say about it. And I don't know where you've noticed, but in the last recent years, there's people calling some tattoos Christian tattoos. There's Christians now, especially with some of the contemporary Christian music and some of the musicians and so forth, and it's bleeding into the churches, and they're what they're calling Christian tattoos. Now, that'd be like saying Christian rock or Christian pornography. That'd be like saying Christian drugs, would it not? I mean, it'd be no different than saying that. Or let's go to the Christian casinos, you know, this week. I mean, it'd be the same thing. And so that's just a big joke, and there's many, though, that are doing that. Now, as we come to this passage, I want you to notice in verse 28, let me read it again. We're going to hang out here just for a few moments. But he says here, "You shall not make any cutting in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord." Now, this is a command that's given to us here in the Old Testament, written over 4,000 years ago. Now, the context, Leviticus chapter 19, is dealing with our personal conduct and holiness. There's many today will say, "Well, Leviticus 19 has nothing to do with me as a New Testament believer." But most of this chapter is dealing with moral commandments that applies both to the nation of Israel and to the church. And I want to carry you through just a few verses here to give you an idea before we actually look at this verse. Now, you'll notice with me that as we come here, notice in verse 1 through 4, he says here, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, You shall be holy, for I the Lord your God am holy. You shall fear every man his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Turn ye not unto idols, nor to make to yourself molten gods. I the Lord your God." I am the Lord your God, rather. Now, you'll notice just beginning in this chapter, these things will apply to you and I as well as to the Old Testament saints. But as you scan down through this chapter, for instance, in verse 11, "You shall not steal." You'll notice with me in verse 12, "You shall not swear by my name falsely." You'll notice with me in verse 13, "Thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him." In verse 14, he says, "Thou shalt not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind." You notice with me in verse 15, he said, "You shall do no unrighteousness in judgment." In verse 16, He says, thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. He said, I am the Lord. Verse 17, he says, thou shalt not hate thy brother in thy heart. In verse 18, he said, thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people. And then I'm going to read one other verse. And you see, I'm reading these to show you that many of these verses apply today as well as here in the Old Testament. And then you'll notice with me in verse 20, and he says, whosoever lieth carnally with a woman that is a bondmaid, betrothed to an husband, and not at all redeemed nor freedom given her, she shall be scourged, and they shall not put her to death because she was not free. In other words, I'm just reading these verses to say many of these things, maybe not everything, but many of these things apply to you and I today. Now, many people today will say, well, verse 28 has nothing to do with the Christian in the New Testament church. And some will say, this is Old Testament. I'm under the New Testament. The New Testament does not forbid tattoos or body modification. But you'll notice with me as we come to verse 26, the Bible says here in verse 26, you shall not eat anything with the blood, neither shall you use enchantment, nor observe times. You shall not round the corners of your heads, neither shall thou mar the corners of thy beard. You shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. Verse 29, he said, do not prostitute thy daughter to cause her to be a whore, lest the land fall to whoredom and the land become full of wickedness. And the reason I read those verses is because, again, of what many will say today. This has nothing to do with us. It's all Old Testament. But in verse 29, and like I say, a lot of people will say, well, God doesn't speak about the tattoos or the body piercing in the New Testament. Well, in verse 29, the prostitution of thy daughter, this is not necessarily repeated this way in the New Testament, but we could not come and say, well, it's okay today just because it's not repeated. So as we consider this, let's consider these verses, especially verse 28, and the fact that it does apply today as it did over 4,000 years ago. There are those who will even come to verse 27 and they'll read this about the where he says, you shall not round the corner of your heads, neither shalt thou mar the corners of your beard. And the many will say, well, the Lord did not put a... In other words, they'll say, this has nothing to do with us. And when you consider this, the Lord did not put this verse here condemning a haircut. In the middle of all of this, this passage in verse 27 forbids a pagan practice of cutting the hair in a shape to honor pagan gods. Matthew Henry, a commentator back in, I believe, the 1600s, he says, those that worship the host of heaven in honor of them cut their hair so that their heads might resemble the celestial globe. And so, you go back and you consider the commentaries until you get into our modern times, they dealt with these verses very properly. Now, verse 28, coming back to this again, there's two prohibitions of disfiguring the body. One is cutting the flesh, and the other one, let me say bloodletting, cutting the flesh, bloodletting, and the other one has to do with tattoos. Now, he says in verse 28, you shall not cut any... You shall not make, rather, any cutting in the flesh for the dead. Something to think about when you consider Satan. Revelation 6 and verse 8, his name is Death, and he has a mark. He is the author of death. And his followers wear his mark. And the Grim Reaper is the most popular tattoo image. At least it was 5 years ago when I wrote this article. And in tattoo shops, most of them are very morbid with scenes of death, devils, serpents, fire, hell, skulls, Satan, pornography, profanity, blasphemy, and nakedness. Now, as we come to the Scriptures, we know that Jesus Christ is the author of life. He came to give us light and life. And so there's a great difference between the world of God's kingdom and Satan's kingdom. Now, in verse 28, you'll notice when we begin, I read this probably for the fourth time, but in verse 28, the latter part of the verse, this is the second thing that God forbids. He says, nor print any mark upon you. He says, I am the Lord. So we got the issue again of bloodletting, that is cutting the flesh and then putting marks upon us. In church history, you go back any time during church history, and not up until a few years ago, nearly everyone knew that tattoos were forbidden by the Word of God. It was just common knowledge. History, I mean, you can go throughout history and it was condemned. Commentaries, as I just mentioned, Matthew Henry, Erdman, Kaufman's, Friedman, Knave's topical Bible. All of these, we find that they, in other words, you read them and they say that this is tattoos and it is forbidden in the Scripture. Now, so as we come to this, I want you to notice, secondly, that it is a pagan practice. Number one, it is forbidden. I got seven things that we put in this article 5 years ago that we're going to look at. Number one, it is forbidden. Number two, it is a pagan practice. Now, there's no way around this. There's many today talking about Christian tattoos and Christian body piercing, and they don't know what they're talking about. It is a pagan practice. Let's turn, please, away from this passage, and let's turn to 1 Kings, and notice with me in chapter 18. Now, I'm going to read verse 28 in 1 Kings chapter 18, and the text would be probably from verse 25 through 29. God's people did not perform body modification when they're walking in His will. Pagans have always abused their bodies. It is a pagan practice, and it has long been associated with idolatry and debauchery. Again, I'm going to give you many quotes, and I've taken quotes from several sources, so I'm not going to call the name of the particular author, but many of these quotes I'm going to give you, again, are from other sources. Now, here's one to begin with before we read. And it says, the present obsession of body modification is a revival of tribalism. It involves a painful initiation rite which produces an identification with a certain tribe, clan, or subculture. In the world, wherever there were paganistic practices and beliefs, there was body modification. Again, you can go back and study paganism and look in at the heathens and so forth, and you'll see this. And you'll notice with me that in verse 28, now again, you can back up and take the text and look at actually the entire chapter. This is where Elijah has a standoff with the Baal worshipers. And the Bible says here that they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lances till the blood gushed out upon them. They're on the altar, they're praying, they're giving sacrifice, they're trying to get their gods to respond unto them. And you'll notice there's cutting of the flesh, there's bloodletting here in this passage. Now let me give you a few other quotes. And the Nuba tribes in Sudan, multiple earrings, nose rings, body scarification, and body painting are prevalent. Also, another tribe, K-A-C-I-P-O, these are people in Sudan, afraid I would mispronounce that. They stretch their lower lips to fit a saucer-sized pottery, and they stretch their earlobes to create huge holes and long earlobes. We're starting to see more of this in America now as we become more pagan in our culture. Another tribe, two other tribes in Sudan, they are easily identified by the pattern of scars across their forehead. Hindus, you find nose studs, belly rings, toe rings, toe studs, eyebrow rings are very common among them. I mentioned someone not long ago, I said the person looks like they had a fishing accident and their face has fallen into the tackle box. But anyway, this is what we see. We're seeing more in this. The more pagan we become in America, the more of this stuff that we'll see. An Amazon tribes. Tattoos identify various members of a given tribe. A Papua New Guinea, all kinds of body mutilation, tattoos, scarification, distinguish the various tribes. In other words, different tribes that have different markings and cuttings and tattoos and so forth. Another tribe, tribes of another area, can't pronounce the name, it says tattooing is mainly associated with headhunting for men and the coming of age of women. In some cases, it symbolized their social status. Tattoos are a part of the rite of passage. And a pagan view on the subject is simply this, is that a tattoo is a complex signature. It signifies sexuality, class, power, and masculinity. And so, again, as we come to this passage here that we've just read, we see cutting of the flesh, we see bloodletting by devil worshippers in the passage, and these are prophets of Baal. They're attempting to unleash supernatural power for the fire to come and burn the sacrifice. And you'll notice with me that he says here in verse 28, and they cried aloud and cut themselves, notice, after their manner, bloodletting. And he says here, with knives and lances till the blood gushed out upon them. And so again, we see that as we come to the Scriptures, there's a complete difference between God's kingdom of light and Satan's kingdom of darkness. And again, as America moves closer and closer to pagan practices, we see these kind of things. Now, I'm going to ask you to turn with me to Leviticus chapter 21. I should have had you hold on there. In Leviticus chapter 21, and we're going to read a passage here and then go into the New Testament. We know that the life of the flesh is in the blood. It is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. And that is true as far as our salvation and so forth is concerned. And this is one of the reasons that God told His people not to be eating blood, drinking blood. Yeah, and we find that the blood is highly favored, by the way, in the occult and as a power source. Let me read to you from the Encyclopedia of Witches and Witchcraft. It says this, a bloodletting ritual. It says, blood that is let is believed to unleash power. If that is true, then we understand what was happening in 1 Kings chapter 28. You see, they're looking for power. They're looking for their God or their gods to answer them. So they were cutting themselves in the process. And tattoos started from satanic bloodletting, the origination of this. In Leviticus chapter 21, verse 5, and Deuteronomy 14:1, if you're taking notes, won't you see that bloodletting was common practice among the heathen? He says in Leviticus chapter 21 in verse 5, he said, thou shalt not make baldness upon thy head, neither shall they shave off the corner of their beard, nor make any cuttings in the flesh. Not make any cuttings in the flesh. Deuteronomy 14:1 also speaks of this. Now turn with me to the New Testament. Let me give you an example of the cutting of the flesh, that is the mutilation of the body. And notice in Mark, I'm going to be reading in chapter 5. In Mark chapter 5. In Satanism, there's grave robbers, sexual assaults, and the ritual of bloodletting. Again, I'm quoting from other sources as I read some of these. The early people, they cut open their skin, rubbed soot into the wounds to mark themselves. They punctured their skin with bones and teeth of animals. In other words, they're going to mark themselves one way or the other. I read a quote here not all that many years ago. In 1996, a satanic Kentucky vampire cult led by the self-acclaimed 500-year-old vampire and Satanist, teenager Rod Farrell, brutally murdered two people. He began his dark journey of blood, Satanism, and vampirism and murder by walking around cemeteries at night, cutting himself, and practicing bloodletting. This is a real world, just like I preached to you this morning on occultism. I thought I'd put these two messages back to back, get them out of the way, but this is a real world, you see. And all of this is connected with paganism. It's connected with those that are lost. Christian people that's walking with God do not have a desire for punching holes in their body or marking their body. You'll notice with me as we come to Mark chapter 5, I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. Now notice this carefully. He says, "And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he went out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwellings among," now notice where he's living, "among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains." He was very strong. "Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broke in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones." Notice that, cutting himself. We've been talking about bloodletting. Cutting himself, doing harm to his own body. And he said in verse 6, "And when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, 'What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not.' For he had said unto him, 'Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit.' And he asked him, 'What is thy name?' And he answered, saying, 'My name is Legion, for we are many.' They besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there were there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. All the devils besought him, saying, 'Send us into the swine that we may enter into them.' And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirit went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and they were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled." You'll notice in verse 15, though, I'm coming to this and stopping here. It says, and they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed. Notice he's possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting. Notice now he's clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Before he was naked, he was among the tombs. He was cutting himself. He was doing harm to himself. And now, after that he is saved, he's clothed, and he is in his right mind, and it brought fear into the others. Well, let me give you some more quotes here, and I'll ask you to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 15. And 1 Samuel in chapter 15, we read this passage here this morning in our message on the occult. But you'll notice here, and let me give you a few more quotes. In New Zealand, and certain of the North American Indian tribes, tattooing was regarded as a religious ceremony and performed by priests or priestesses. The tattooists, now again, these are just an agglomeration of quotes by different sources. The tattooist, shaman, or the occult priest many times used the tattoos as a point of contact or inlets into the spiritual world. The tattoo is much more than just a body decoration. It was a vehicle for pagan, spiritual, and religious invocations. It was believed to be a bridge into the supernatural world. See, this thing is far deeper than just a cute little tattoo, you know, that somebody would put on them. Tattoos have a well-defined role, marking a rite of passage at the stage of life, calling the spirits. Many native tribes practice therapeutic tattooing. They tattooed the temples, the forehead, and cheeks of those suffering from headaches and toothaches that were believed to be caused by spirits. Tattooing is associated with sun worship. Primitive tribes used tattoo marks as a means of identifying. Let me read this over. Primitive tribes used tattoo marks as a means of identification in the next world and a passport to future happiness. One tribe of Indians in Lower Colorado instituted chin tattooing for both sexes because it was believed that a kind of judge looks over each one who comes to the land of the dead, and if a man don't have marks on his face, he sends him down to where the desert rats are. Tattooing is often a magical rite in the traditional culture, and tattooist is often respected as a shaman or a priest. See, this thing is very deep into the occult world. And again, Hindus in Bengal believed that without tattoos, parents would not be able to recognize their children in the next world. The worship of the sun god Baal had involved the marking of the hands, that is, tattoos, with a divine token in a mystic attempt to acquire strength. And again, let me reiterate what I said earlier. Tattoos were used to secure a place in heaven, to obtain strength, favor, acceptance, and sexuality, and even beyond that. So you see, you know, as we look in America, we know we're becoming a pagan culture, but many, I don't even think they realize what has taken place when they are putting these tattoos, and especially some of these pictures I showed you in the beginning, where that they have went to the extremes with that. Now, notice with me in 1 Samuel chapter 15. I'm going to read two verses from this chapter. And number 3, I'm saying to you tonight that tattoos is a sign of rebellion. And this outline, by the way, is right here if you want it. It is a sign of rebellion. It is a mark of rebellion throughout history. It has been viewed this way. It's not normal, especially for believers. It is not normal. In most of history, the tattoos was used to mark criminals, adulterers, traitors, deserters, and outcasts throughout most of history. And it was a dreaded mark of disgrace. And here's something else, another quote in Circus Freak Shows, as late as early 1900s, tattoos were so abnormal, the only ones who had them were in the circus. This is just 100 or so years ago. In America, tattoos are most prevalent either in jail or hard rock bands. And I've seen in prison preaching in May of this year, we were handing out gospel tracts before we went in to do the evangelistic meeting and preach. And we were standing in a chow line, handing out tracts, inviting these men to the chapel later for service. And one man, many tattoos in prison, one walked out, and he had across his forehead in bold letters the word reject. And I turned around to a guard, and I said, "Did you put this on him?" He said, "We don't do that." He said he came in here with that. Now you imagine this fellow getting saved and trying to get rid of that tattoo. Well, notice with me as we come to 1 Samuel chapter 15, reading in verse 22 and verse 23. He says in verse 22, "And Samuel said, 'Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offering and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams.'" Now notice, God wants obedience. And he says in verse, notice with me in the next verse, he said, "For rebellion is the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. He hath also rejected thee from being king." So we see, I'm just saying to you that it is rebellion. And I gave you a verse this morning, Jeremiah 10:2, "Learn not the way of a heathen." I'm saying to you that tattoos and body piercing did not originate in the Church of Jesus Christ. It came out of the world, and it came out of paganism. Now, let me give you some more, and I normally don't give you this many, but I just believe this will be beneficial to our study and considering this. Let me give you some more stats and some quotes and so forth. Delinquents tattoo themselves more than non-delinquents. Criminals, drug addicts, sex perverts, and social outlaws are the overwhelming majority of the tattooed. And even the toy Barbie has a tattoo, I think, now. And so I told you she was casting spells this morning. Well, she has a tattoo now. Well, now listen to these stats, and this is 5 years ago, so they would be changed now. 15% of all Americans are tattooed. That's 20 million Americans. Okay? 39% of all NBA players are tattooed. 60% of the tattooed are women. 22% of 18 to 25-year-olds have at least one tattoo. Studies have linked tattoos to sodomy, lesbianism, and gross sexual perversion. People with personality disorders frequently have multiple small tattoos. In New Zealand, there's a poll for BORSTAL, for girls reveal that 60% tattooed, 90% admitted to lesbian behavior during corrective treatment. A further study says that the most heavily tattooed girls tended to take the masculine role in their sex encounters. Studies in Denmark, 42% of homes for short-term detention were tattooed. 60% of homes for young men with behavioral difficulties, 72% of prisons for young men, and 52% of prison population. A July survey, I believe this is 2004, a July survey of more than 2,000 people in the United States reported in the AFP for October the 11th found that among women who got tattoos, 34% feel sexier and 29% overall feel more rebellious. And again, no matter where you go, what you look at, this is connected with paganism. And I'm going to tell you this also, it is dangerous. It is dangerous. And I'm going to ask you, if you would, to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It can be very dangerous. Let me give you just a few facts on that as well. And if you write down Exodus 15:26, God talks about the diseases of Egypt in Deuteronomy 28:27. It has its medical hazards, and I'm quoting again. You can get deadly blood-borne diseases such as AIDS, hepatitis B and C, tetanus, syphilis, etc. The commercial tattoo may be the number one distributor of hepatitis C. Now, these are studies I picked up 5 and 6 years ago. Studies show that commercially acquired tattoos accounted for more than as many hepatitis C infections as injection drug use, that is, shooting dope into their body. Those who were tattooed in a commercial tattoo parlor were 9 times more likely to get hepatitis C. The deadly disease, hepatitis C, kills over 10,000 people a year and is skyrocketing. 4 million are infected with it and rising. You'll notice with me, hepatitis C is spread by infected blood and infected needles, and tattoos involve a lot of sticks in the skin. Tattoos open your body to disease, for a tattooing machine can puncture the skin 3,000 times a minute, and each one of these thousands of puncture creates a hole 1/64 of 1/16 of an inch, and that literally invites infections and disease. Think about this as we're reading this. The average tattoo takes about 60 minutes. That equals 180,000 tiny Russian roulette puncture wounds, providing a potential path of infection and disease. You'll notice with me in another statement. The pigment in tattoo ink contains small metal fibers such as iron oxide. These metals can cause intense burning pain during an MRI procedure. Some medical institutions refuse to perform MRIs on people with tattoos. I mean, and when I did this and wrote this article, I just collected everything that I could get my hands on in every area. And nothing good is said or comes out of this. According to the Center for Disease Control, there is a risk of HIV transmission does exist if the instruments are contaminated. The American Red Cross prohibits donors from donating blood for 1 year after getting a tattoo. At least this was 5 years ago. 1961, an outbreak of hepatitis B in New York City was linked to the tattoo. In 1950s, a New York boy contracted blood poisoning from being tattooed with an unsterilized needle. In 1853, the first case was reported of syphilis transmitted by tattoos needle. And again, this I could go on with many other facts, and I don't want to bore you with that, but I just want to give you a little bit that it is not only forbidden, it is not only wrong, but it can be dangerous, and many people don't realize that. You'll notice with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the fifth thing I want to mention to you this evening is that it is defiling the body. Okay? Now I'm going to read two verses from this chapter, and there's many other passages. 2 Corinthians 6, 1 Corinthians 6 describe the same thing. Our body is the temple of God. Would you not agree this evening? And Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, we're to present our body as a living sacrifice. And we're to do that by renewing of the mind and not by conforming to the world. And so putting holes in your body or marks on your body does not honor God. In any way does it honor God. Earrings on men, without any doubt, is wrong. And as a matter of fact, where do we find in the Bible that even a woman can punch holes in her head? Amen? I mean, we got enough holes in our head now. We don't need any more. I mean, you cannot find justification for this for a man or a woman in the Scriptures. You'll notice in verse 16, he said, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." We are the temple of God, not only collectively, but we are the temple of God individually. Now, number six, it is contrary to New Testament Christianity. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. When pagan tribes are converted to Christianity, without exception, tattooing was one of the first pagan practices that would pass away from that tribe. In mission work, when pagan tribes were converted to Christian religion, their spiritual and cultural rites were outlawed. Let me read a quote. Cortez, when he and his men arrived on the coast of Mexico in 1519, they were horrified to discover that the natives not only worshiped devils in the form of statues and idols, but also had imprinted images of these idols on their skin. Even though the Spaniards had never heard of tattooing, they recognized it as a work of Satan. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It is contrary to New Testament Christianity. And we'll read one verse. You know the verse. It's verse 17. He says in verse 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." You see, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:21, "You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be the partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils." We are new creatures in Christ Jesus. There's a difference. We're now followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you got to ask the question, what would Christ do? What would Christ do? Would He put holes in His body? Now, we know the Romans and the Jews put holes in His body and hung Him on the cross. But would He put holes in His body? Would He put tattoos on His body? I think we know the answer here this evening. I'm telling you, you will be shocked to find out how many churches now that are saying it is okay for the body piercing and the tattoos, especially if it's a Christian tattoo. All right, I want to turn to one last passage this evening. I didn't want to belabor this, but I wanted to give you some thoughts on it and hope this will be a blessing to you and be a help. We must remind each other of these things, amen? And I'm going to tell you another thing, too. It will be regretted by most of the people that do it. It will be regretted. Let me give you an example. Most regret ever getting a tattoo, especially if they get saved. They come in to the kingdom of God. And I'm going to read a couple of quotes here about this. But according to the American Society of Dermatological Surgery, over 50% of everyone receiving a tattoo wants it removed. Tattoo removal is among the fastest growing area of dermatology industry. Now, that was 5 years ago. I don't know about today. Okay. Another quote, sailors in the Royal Navy, over 50% regret ever getting a tattoo, and among the married, it rose to over 70%. Probably a lot of them had the wrong woman's name on their arm after they got married. They never married the one that they put the name on there. That happened so many times. I've seen that happen when I was in the Navy here. One other says, laser tattoo removal is painful and expensive. It takes several surgery sessions to remove the average tattoo and can cost thousands of dollars. A $50 tattoo can be painful, and it can cost thousands of dollars unless they've come up with something different in the last 5 years. Now, when we consider the fact, and I'm going to read in Thessalonians, when we consider the fact that our hope, now listen to me carefully, Romans 8, 28, 29, and 30, our hope is the glorification of the body. Amen? We're not to do harm to this body. I realize it's decaying, and we're all, if we live long enough, we'll head to the grave, but we're not to do any harm to this body. This body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And our hope is glorification of this body. This body will be raised again. Now, if that is our hope, how in the world can we do harm to our own body? You think about that. Tattoos stand as a constant reminder of past depravity to most people. Now, here's the last verse that I'm going to read. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 22. And let's actually read three verses as we close. And I got to ask this question. Now, I understand people that are not saved, they don't know what they're doing. But what about those who claim Christ? Why do people hate God and hate His Word? Think about that. And go contrary and rebel against His Word. He says here in verse 21, He says, prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearances of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray God your whole spirit, soul, notice, and body be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says our spirit, soul, and body. This body was given to us by the Lord. It's very precious. We're fearfully and wonderfully made according to the book of Psalms. And our hope is glorification. Sin is what brought corruption in. But I'm saying to you that we're to abstain from all appearances of evil according to verse 22. And so I believe that body piercing and tattoos is from another world. they're not from the kingdom of God. It's from the kingdom of Satan. And it is a sign of depravity. It is a sign of paganism. It's heathen practices. And you watch any society, you just keep your eyes on America and see where we head. We're headed very fast, and you're seeing much body markings, body modifications. You're seeing much of this in our country. Why? Because people are moving away from God and from His Word. Well, we're going to close right there. And again, if you want to, if you did not get all the references, most of what I said tonight, except for the quotes, are in this article that we wrote in 2005.